So you go through and you see the house and some of the original things that the family owned are in there. And then you also see the backyard. And there's a fun story about how she reportedly taught a chicken to walk backwards. So that stood out on the tour there.
Sounds very true and accurate. A little bit of urban mythology there, maybe.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of Where Should We Camp Next? A 50-state guide to amazing campgrounds and other unique outdoor accommodations.
Almost 12 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We will also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. Today, we have Georgia on our mind, and we are thrilled to have Gretchen Holcomb back on the show. Gretchen's from Boxy Colonial and Boxy Colonial On the Road, and she is here to share her love for Savannah. Gretchen's family has visited Savannah 3 times since they became RV owners, and she has recommendations for where to camp, like 3 really great recommendations that are all very different. She has like 10 or 12 recommendations for things to do and see, and she's got some great recommendations for where to eat and for some ice cream after dinner. But before we dive in and talk to Gretchen about Savannah, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco. Elevate your campsite setup with Jayco's all-new patent-pending J-Port. Forget about hassling with a charcoal grill or the lengthy cleanup that comes afterwards at the campsite. You can easily convert select Jayco RV's exteriors to a cookout space using the J-Port with a Blackstone griddle. The series-specific 17-inch single-zone or 22-inch dual-zone Blackstone griddles easily connect to a Jayco RV's door side with a 2-inch receiver hitch and liquid propane quick connect. It is really nifty and a really great way to hook up that Blackstone. The added convenience of the J-Port with Blackstone griddle means there is no need for an extra table or external gas bottle while cooking out. Matt Fisher, the director of product development for J-Flight, said, "The Blackstone griddle has exploded on the camping scene, and they worked extensively with Blackstone on a way to be able to offer their griddles in Jayco campers in a way that is unique and functional for their customers." Reach out to your local Jayco dealership to learn more about the J-Port system and visit jayco.com/J-Port. Hello, Gretchen, and welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
You know, it's been a wild, crazy year. We were just talking about that off mic a little bit, but all things considered, things are moving in the right direction and we're doing pretty good here. You guys looking forward to summer RV trips?
We are. We still putting the finishing touches on the itinerary, and we actually have a new trailer ordered, so we're waiting for everything to fall into place.
Well, tell everybody what the new trailer is.
It is a Venture Stratus 281 VBH.
So now this is not a toy hauler, right?
It is not a toy hauler. We were thinking about like a smaller toy hauler. We wanted to get something a little bit smaller than our 34-foot toy hauler. But I don't know. We just kind of went in a different direction. So we're excited about it.
Well, best of luck to you as you take delivery and go out on the maiden voyages. So today you're taking us to Savannah, and I kind of really wish I could snap my fingers and go to Savannah right now. So tell us, why is Savannah worth visiting? You know, just give us the big picture before we go into the details. Like, why is Savannah worth visiting? Why is it great as an RV destination? Because not all urban destinations are great for RVing, but you say Savannah is.
Right. So Savannah is worth visiting because it's beautiful. It has a lot of great, really interesting history. It's right on the coast, so you can kind of combine some of those urban sites that you want to see with a beach trip. And for RVers, it's really great because there are just a lot of great campgrounds there, sort of a surprising number for a fairly big city. So it's easy to find somewhere to stay and have a really good trip.
And you are into history. And I think that, you know, your spouse is into history and I think your kids seem to be into history. So is some of the history very intriguing to you as well?
Yeah, It's a really interesting city. It's said to be America's first planned community. So James Oglethorpe was the founder and came over in colonial days in the early 1700s and seemed to be kind of a control freak. He laid out the city very specifically around these squares, and he had these districts called wards around each square. And back then, the squares were these public spaces that were used for things like militia exercises and really practical things. But then over time, they added some squares and they kept them and they kept them up. And now they're just these kind of great public spaces, public parks. And each one has a different name, and there'll be historical, you know, there'll be statues in it and interpretive signs and whatever, and gardens, and each one has its own character. So it's just a great city to kind of wander around in through these squares, because they're all in a really compact downtown area, and it's just fun. You can't go very far without stumbling across another square. And the architecture and everywhere in the city is just beautiful. It's famous for being the city that did not get burned when Sherman made his march to the sea through Georgia, and famously burned most of Atlanta. So Atlanta has very few pre-Civil War buildings, but Savannah has tons of them, and they're very proud of their history and proud of their architecture, and everything's very well preserved and kept up.
And at the rvatlas.com, you were gracious enough to give us some pictures of these things to share in the show notes. So if you want to get a visual sense for Savannah, head on over to the rvatlas.com and check out all of Gretchen's really cool photos, both of the campgrounds and of some of these things in the city that she's talking about. So you have, I think, three different campground recommendations. They all seem to be quite different. So what's your top pick, and what seems to be your favorite place?
Ooh. Okay, let's see. So I think probably the one we've stayed at this campground twice. Skidaway Island State Park is about 25 minutes outside of Savannah. And all of these, I'm going to talk about three, and they're all about 20, 25 minutes outside of the city. So it's a state park, and it has huge pull-through full hookup sites. And that's one of the things we love about it, because it's rare to get that full hookup site at a state park. Those are really hard to get, but if you can, they're also giant sites, so it's great to grab one of those. But they also have a lot of other sites sort of tucked back in the woods that are really nice too. There are trails all through the park, kind of going through the marsh, and you can see there's even some kind of bootlegging history on one of the trails and Civil War history. So it's really fun to explore those trails.
So the campground's on sort of some kind of bootlegging trail from the past.
One of the trails in the state park has some kind of, like, I think you can see the remains of an old moonshine still. It's something like that. It's been a while since I did this trail, but, you know, it's a nice trail, and there's also some history to see along the way.
You said the sites are huge, and the photo you sent, I believe, was of this campground, and I would borderline call the site you have in that picture gigantic.
It might be 100 feet long. The pull-throughs are huge.
And I knew it wasn't a private campground in the photo you sent, right? I mean, it's just like not possible. So anything else to know about that campground, or do you want to talk about a resort option if somebody wants to go a bit more fancy?
No, I think that pretty much covers that. You know, just if you want that one, do book early, because the full hookup sites go really quick, but all the sites will book up pretty far in advance. So hop on that if you want it.
All right, so you've got something new and trendy for us. What do you got?
Right, and this one we have not stayed at, but it's got a lot of buzz, a lot of great reviews. We were at a campground like 6 hours away, and someone was like, oh, have you heard about Creek Fire RV Resort in Savannah? So people seem to love this place. It's been open, I think, maybe 2 years, and they've been adding more as it's gone along. And it's definitely a resort. I was looking at the website. It's got the pool with the lazy river. I think this year they added an on-site restaurant. And it's also on a lake, and they do kayak rentals and all of that kind of thing. And it seemed like I was looking at the prices, and they did not seem bad for this kind of resort experience.
Give them time, Gretchen. Give them time. Because you're making me think of Anchor Down. And when we did our Great Smoky Mountains trip, I think it was like the first or the second year Anchor Down was open, and it was starting to get like that buzz like you're talking about here. And now, as far as I understand, Anchor Down's one of the hardest private campgrounds to book in the country. I bet this place will get that way too, with that kind of proximity to Savannah. So you have you have yet another great option for us if you want to kind of take a different approach to your campground choice.
Right. So the last one, and this is, we stayed at this one just this past November, is Rivers End Campground on Tybee Island. And when I was first sort of making my list of ones to recommend, I thought, well, Tybee might be good if you want kind of that beach thing. But then when I looked at it, it's really not any farther away from downtown than any of the others. These are all 20, 25 minutes away. So you're really not losing anything with proximity, but you're gaining the beach by staying at Rivers End. It's right in the town on Tybee Island. Tybee Island's a small barrier island off the coast of Georgia, and people call it Savannah's Beach because it's the closest beach to Savannah, the closest open ocean beach. And so about 25 minutes right in the town, and you can walk to two different beaches within about 5-10 minutes. It's also a really bikeable area, so you can walk or bike to restaurants, and it's just a really nice place to stay. And it kind of gives you two vacations in one, because you can go into the city during the day and see everything, and then you can come back and do walks along the beach at night.
Two vacations in one is like the best line of the show so far. Like, that sounds so good. And I'm almost thinking, like, if you did a week's vacation, you plan on a couple days in the city and a couple days at the beach. I mean, I think that that's the direction I would personally go in next time we get there. Now, you reviewed Skidaway Island State Park back on Campground of the Week, right?
Right. I did an episode that was a roundup of Georgia state parks. I think there are five different state parks in there, and that was one of them, because it's definitely one of our favorites.
So I will link to that in the show notes if you want to check out some more of those great state parks. So we're going to come back in a second, and Gretchen's going to give us a ton of recommendations for really cool things to do. It's a great eclectic list, which we always appreciate from Gretchen. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco. In conjunction with the launch of Jayco's J-Port, they have released a brand new cooking series on YouTube of step-by-step recipes by famed chef Carrie Karch. She is the former executive chef for Kenmore Appliances, and she has appeared on television shows, on the Cooking Channel, Travel Channel, and the Lifetime Network. She has also hosted and emceed notable events like the Aspen Food and Wine Festival, Napa Valley Film Festival, and the World Food Championship. So you're definitely going to want to check out her new cooking show on Jayco's YouTube channel. You're going to want to check out her spicy Szechuan JJ noodles and a PB&J s'mores wrap recipe. They are savory additions to your campsite cuisine. Each recipe is easy, tasty, and great to try on the series-specific J-Port with Blackstone griddle. If you're looking for tips and tricks for griddle cooking, watch Carrie's videos over at Jayco's YouTube channel as she shares her expertise on seasoning your griddle like a pro. Welcome back to the show, Gretchen. Now let's talk about all of the cool things to do in Savannah. And I feel like it's such a rich city that on every trip, you could probably do 10 different things for years to come, like we've done in Charleston. So get us started and tell us what some of your favorite things are to do in Savannah.
Sure. So, and we've been there three times. And I was looking back at my old blog post that I had written about them, and I was sort of startled at how many different things we did on every trip, because there really is just a ton to do. So as I kind of mentioned before, make sure whatever you do that you spend some time just walking around downtown. It's a really compact, walkable downtown. So you can just stumble over all kinds of cool things to see just doing that.
So after we're done doing some walking around the city and doing some sightseeing, we might want to take a trolley tour. So tell us more about that.
Right. So after you've seen the city from your feet, from the ground, then another great way to get an overview is to do one of the trolley tours. And there are, like most cities that have a big tourist population, there are a couple different companies that you can use. We did Old Savannah Tours because that's a local company. And another thing that appealed to me is they have costumed characters who hop on at some of the stops and kind of tell a story about the guy that we saw was, I think he was from the Gullah culture, and told his story of that. We actually only saw one costume character, which was a little disappointing to me. So I'm not sure how many you get on average, but
they should guarantee a minimum of three, I would think.
Yeah, that would be good. I would have been happy with that. But so you can either stay on and go all the way around the city in a loop and it's about 90 minutes, or it's a hop on, hop off kind of thing.
Did your kids enjoy that as well, or did it feel like more of an adult thing to do?
No, well, at the time we had our, I think he was almost 4 year old with us, and he was very into transportation of all sorts. So this was the thing he was looking forward to the most. And the older kids were old enough that they, you know, got out a lot out of the narration of the guide and the history and all of that. And the younger one was just happy to be on a trolley.
And the trolley, of course, the trolley tours in Charleston are great, too. And I can't help but thinking of both of the cities at the same time as you talk of Savannah. So now, Gretchen, we know you love cemeteries. OK, so what cemetery did you visit and would you recommend for us to check out when we're in Savannah?
So the famous big cemetery in Savannah is the Bonaventure Cemetery. It's this Victorian cemetery. It's huge and sprawling. And what we found out, we didn't make it there until just this past trip because we're looking for more outside things to do. And we found out that the Victorians just really know how to do a cemetery well. And one good ingredient is live oaks with Spanish moss dripping from them. But then they're just really elaborate statues and tombs. And they have in regular times, they give tours. They have volunteers who do tours and tell you about the history. That wasn't happening when we were there, but they had an app. So we downloaded the app, and it will tell you about what you're looking at. It was a little glitchy, but it's supposed to sort of kick in when you get to a certain, like, to know where you are and then start talking about whatever you're near. So that was definitely gave a lot of context that was helpful to help us know what we were looking at.
Was it spooky or was it sort of more tranquil and peaceful?
I did not find it spooky. I mean, your mileage might vary depending on your attitude towards cemeteries, but no, it's a really pretty setting right on the river, and it was really pleasant.
All right, cool. You love quirky museums, and our family also loves quirky museums. So what are some options for museums here in Savannah and around Savannah?
Well, we never pass up a train museum. I don't know why. We just are very into train museums, and we've been to several of them. And I think the one in Savannah, which is the Georgia State Railroad Museum, is probably our favorite of all time. And this was the trip where we went to this one, I think, was when my youngest was not even 3. So it was, which is not the best age for museums necessarily. But this one was great for him because it's just lots of wide open space. It's an old train yard, an old railroad yard that they've just kind of all the stuff, all the equipment and the train cars are all just still there. But it's been turned into this open air museum where you can just explore and look at all the stuff. So he loved being able to run around there. There's a working turntable, which is kind of cool. Not something you see everywhere where the train, you know, turns around to switch tracks and you can ride on that. There's a short train ride that actually takes you on that turntable and you get to be on the train as it moves in that circle.
And are there other things that are hands-on like that? Is that part of why your kids liked it, or are you just sort of looking at displays?
No, I mean, you can touch everything because it's all just kind of old industrial stuff. Like there's nothing you can break. So there's lots of, you can do whatever. They have an old hand car and they have someone who comes out. I think this is on it. You have to be there at a certain time, but he will show you how to use the hand car. So our kids got to use the hand car and go down the track a little ways. And then there's also a really big, there's an outside club, I think, that has space here that has a model train set up that's really elaborate and fun to look at. So the kids really like that too.
I still love all things to do with transportation. So I would totally love to get here. I mean, not just the RV thing, not just the highway thing, but definitely a fascination in trains as well. This sounds really, really cool for the whole family. So yeah. How about the Telfair Museums? Did I get that right?
I think so. Your guess is as good as mine. But the Telfair Museums is kind of a complex downtown that has 3 separate sites. So you buy one ticket and you get access to the Jepson Center, which is a big contemporary building that has modern art exhibits, sort of some permanent ones and some traveling ones. And they also have, in the Jepson Center, there's a really nice hands-on space for kids. So what we actually did was my husband stayed with my youngest in that hands-on area. And we went down the street to the Telfair Academy, which is their second site. And that is an old neoclassical mansion, but then it's an art museum with 19th and 20th century European art. So my older kids enjoyed that. And then they also have a historic home that's part of their properties called the Owens Thomas House that has, they give tours of that, and you learn about looking back into the history of lives of people in Savannah, both free and enslaved people in the 19th century.
So that sounds like a lot of bang for the buck if you're getting one ticket, three museums, basically.
Right.
All right, let's talk about the Flannery O'Connor Childhood Home. We'll keep that in the museum category here. I am a huge Flannery O'Connor fan. And for our listeners who don't know who Flannery O'Connor is, like, I'm a former English teacher, and she sort of was a Southern Gothic novelist, short story writer, probably most famous for her short stories, and essayist. And she had sort of a bizarre, violent sense of humor, if you want to call it that. So I'm kind of jealous you got to the Flannery O'Connor Childhood Home. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that was a fun one. And, you know, I was an English major and I like Flannery O'Connor, but my kids didn't know anything about her because, you know, kids really shouldn't know much about Flannery O'Connor yet. That's for when you're older. But the house was still interesting, even if you're not a Flannery O'Connor fan. It's kind of, there are all these grand houses you can tour in Savannah. And this is just sort of a early 20th century middle class home. So it's nice to see that perspective that you don't always get when you're touring historic houses. It's usually the big mansions. So this is where she, and also she was a kid there. So that's interesting for kids because it was where she lived till, I don't know, she was 10 or 12 or something. So you go through and you see the house and some of the original things that the family owned are in there. And then you also see the backyard. And there's a fun story about how she reportedly taught a chicken to walk backwards. So that stood out on the tour there.
Sounds very true and accurate. A little bit of urban mythology there, maybe.
I think it was in the newspaper, so it had to be true.
Then it acquired the authority of the printed word. So right. Let's not forget about the cathedral as well. There was a really cool cathedral that you visited.
There is. And this is right by the Flannery O'Connor Childhood Home. And they'll talk about that on the tour there, how she could see the cathedral, which was perhaps an influence on her later writing. But it's just a really beautiful old cathedral. It has a lot of stained glass and gargoyles. We happen to be there, I think, right after Christmas. And if you can go around Christmas time, they have a really elaborate, amazing nativity scene set up inside. So that's a great time to go if you can. But it's closed while they're having masses, obviously. But most of the time it is open to go in and do a self-guided tour. And I think sometimes they do guided tours too.
I would imagine the city has a lot of religious history. Is it very much a Catholic city?
I don't know. I don't know why it would be being in southeastern Georgia, but there may be some particular reason why it is more Catholic than other parts of the Southeast. I'm not sure.
Gotcha. Okay. So how about there's an NPS site not too far from downtown Savannah. So that's something I would certainly want to go and visit. So tell us about that.
Right. You can't pass up an NPS site. So Fort Pulaski is actually, it'll be on your way to Tybee Island if you're coming there from Savannah. So it's maybe 15, 20 minutes outside of the city. And it's an old fort. You'll find very similar forts kind of all over the East Coast that they built, I think after the War of 1812 is when the U.S. decided we need some forts. So they built all of these forts during the same time period. And so they look pretty similar. But each one kind of has something special about it, we've found. We never get tired of touring forts either. So Fort Pulaski actually has like a system of underground tunnels that are really cool to explore. Right now, they are closed. And I don't think it's because of COVID. I think they're doing some kind of like restoration work there. So I'm not sure when that's supposed to be opened again. But
did you do tunnels
at the moment.
Did you do a ranger-led tour when you visited?
One of the time we've been there, we go there on every trip. We've been to Savannah three times and we have been to Fort Pulaski every time. My kids love it there. So we did, I think on our first visit, we did the ranger led tour and it was very long winded. So it lost the kids somewhere along the way.
You know, if it works out right and the ranger has a little bit of a sense of the audience when there are kids in the audience, they can be magical. But then we have right. also had that same experience, particularly like Gettysburg in particular, where just some of the tours are a little heavy handed for the kids. And the thing is, you don't know until you go. That's the thing.
Right.
I don't think you can really figure out if it's going to work for your kids until you go. One thing for our listeners, pay attention to the time. Does it say it's a 30-minute tour, 90-minute tour, 2-hour tour, whatever it might be? So let's go back out to Tybee Island. So like say we were camping out near Tybee Island or we wanted to day trip out there from Skidaway, what would we want to check out there?
So the Tybee Island Light Station and Museum is the official name. I don't know why they don't call it a lighthouse. I think it might be because the lighthouse keepers, like the keeper's house is separate. I was trying to figure that out last night, but it doesn't really matter. It's a lighthouse for all intents and purposes. And it's a really pretty one. And if you are staying at the campground, it's right by the campground. It's like a 5-10 minute walk from the campground. And you can go up in the lighthouse, of course. And I, unlike some lighthouses we've encountered have had like height limits or age limits, this one I think does not, because we went when my youngest was very small. So that was nice for him because he had been to some lighthouses where he had to kind of sit it out while his big brothers climbed. That's not the case here.
Max and Theo could not go on the Cape Hatteras National Seashore Lighthouse one of the years. And we just didn't really realize that. And then they were disappointed. And so it took till like the next trip to Cape Hatteras to do that for sure.
Right.
So is that it for all the, you know, your top recommendations? I mean, obviously there's 100 other things, but did we cover all your best picks?
It was hard to narrow it down, but that's what I came up with for my top, however many it was. I didn't count. But
I'm gonna torment you here. If somebody was just having like 2 days in Savannah, say somebody's passing through on an RV trip or only has a weekend, like what is out of that list? Like what should you go to first?
I would say, I mean, it would kind of depend on what ages, you know, if it was kids or adults. I would say anybody. Bonaventure Cemetery is just kind of this iconic Savannah destination, so you should make sure to see that. And then if you have kids, I think the Railroad Museum, we all just loved that. If you don't have kids with you, then you might want to be more on the side of just kind of walking around and going in some of the historic houses and maybe seeing the Telfair museums.
I never read Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, and I'm slightly embarrassed to say that. Did you ever read that?
I have not.
That's I mean, I know like for Savannah, I think that's a major, major tie-in with Savannah there. So our listeners, if any of you have read it, send me an email. Tell me about it a little bit more. So we're going to come back in a second with more from Gretchen, and she's going to talk about food. Because if you are visiting a great southern city like Savannah, you are going to get hungry walking around, and I'm sure there's all kinds of great food options. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Ocala Marion County. Ocala Marion County is a place well worth planning a trip to. This may be the last place where you can experience Florida in its natural state, not overdeveloped or overly crowded, just quiet, natural, and spacious. Ocala Marion County welcomes RVers with plenty of beautiful parks and resorts, and some of them are located right on lakes or even golf courses. And once you're there, the whole area becomes your own personal outdoor playground. You can explore miles of hiking trails and spot wildlife like deer, bald eagles, and of course, alligators. You can cycle scenic roadways or mountain bike on nationally recognized trails. You can canoe, kayak, paddleboard, or simply splash around in pristine waterways, including the area's famous crystal clear springs. And once your adventures are done for the day, you can enjoy everything from award-winning craft breweries and barbecue joints to hip farm-to-table taquerias. Take it from us here at the RV Atlas. Ocala Marion County is well worth the trip. Plan your adventure today at ocalamarion.com. All right, Gretchen, welcome back to the show. We have to eat. You told us to walk around the city. You told us to walk around the cemetery. We've driven out to Tybee Island. What are some of your favorite picks for getting great food in and around Savannah?
Okay, so I feel a little sheepish mentioning this because it's so touristy, but the Pirate's House is really fun. It's supposed to be the oldest still standing building in the state, and it was already operating as a tavern and inn for sailors in 1753. I don't know how much of the pirate history is real and how much is made up to get tourists in, but the waitstaff is all dressed up as pirates. And we went there with the kids, and it was just really fun. So the food is fine, as I recall. It's sort of Southern dishes with an emphasis on seafood, like you might expect, but it's really more about just the fun experience.
Well, and I would go there in a heartbeat. You know, Stephanie and I have always said that sometimes touristy spots are popular for a reason, and particularly if you've just been walking all over Savannah for the day or taking your, you know, your small kids all over the place, to sit down and have some burgers or some Southern food in a place where the waiters and waitresses are dressed as pirates sounds like a great family pick to me. Now, let's say we want some barbecue. Where would you send us?
So our pick for barbecue in Savannah would be Sandfly Barbecue. And they have two locations. The one we went to is the one downtown, and it's in a converted vintage streetcar. So that kind of adds a fun experience too. That one was very busy. I remember that we had to wait, and you know, it's in a streetcar, so it's kind of crowded inside. So we had to split up too. And we had some people in a booth and some people at the counter. So be prepared for that. But the barbecue is great, and it's a fun atmosphere.
And you want to leave a little bit of room for ice cream. Where are we going to go?
And this is another very iconic Savannah pick. Leopold's Ice Cream has been around since 1919. It's very, very close to the Pirate's House, actually. So if you eat there, you can probably stroll over to Leopold's. We have gotten ice cream here twice, and we have tried a third time and given up because the line was so long. I've never seen Leopold's not have a huge line out the door and down the street. So, but it's great ice cream if you're willing to wait 45 minutes or an hour for your ice cream, then you can get terrific ice cream shakes and all of that. And there's one of the squares, Reynolds Squares, right around the corner. So you can take it over there and eat in one of those squares that I was talking about.
So maybe try it on like a weeknight instead of a weekend, just to,
I don't know. I have not found the right time to go to Leopold's without a wait. Maybe someday I will.
Do they process the line quickly? Or, I mean, are you really waiting?
It didn't feel like it to me. I don't know. I've never, you know, worked at an ice cream place. I'm sure they're doing their best, but it's a long wait.
Well, that's the magic. If the ice cream's good enough, the line out the door is the place to be. So Gretchen, tell us where everyone listening can follow you and your really cool websites, and give us all your information, social media, Instagram. Where can people follow your adventures?
Okay, so my travel stuff is all at Boxy Colonial on the Road. I've got the blog is boxycolonialontheroad.com. I'm that on Instagram and Facebook, I guess. And then I also blog about my house at just boxycolonial.com.
And I loved the episode we did not too many months ago, really, about the travel-themed decor. So I'll plug that into the show notes as well if you want to hear more from Gretchen. You had some really cool tips on how to bring the, you know, the travel stuff into your home and make it, you know, part of your experience at home as well. Gretchen, thank you so much, and hopefully we'll see you guys soon.
Yes, thank you.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas, and a big thanks to our sponsors.
To Jayco, the Thetford Corporation, Camp Spot, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and our friends at Ocala Marion County in Florida.
To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, visit thervatlas.com.
And join the friendliest group of RVers over at the RV Atlas Group on Facebook.
And if you enjoyed this show, please consider leaving us a review over at iTunes.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.